Spooky girl. Sorry.
I'm your city boy, C-Max. We did it on Halloween. This is Matrimony Madness. MOM.
What's up, y'all?
Matrimony of Madness. We did it on Halloween. We got married on Halloween. We spend all evenings talking about all things spooky. We are a family-friendly podcast with all the blood and guts. And whether it's your first time listening or you're a frequent listener, we want to thank you for taking a stab at it. Put the tombstone that we ended the streak of me saying family.
I was just going to say that. And you know what's also interesting is I just now realized how many words you say that have that's FR words in that little
family friendly podcast with all the blood and guts. First time, first,
and frequent. Frequent, first, family, friendly, family.
I think I didn't say family because I've been talking like this today. And family's a word that they probably say. So anyways, guys, we're singing a song, Country Girl by Belmont. It's amazing.
It's so funny.
It's amazing if you like country. I think it's amazing if you like pop punk. I think it's amazing if you like rock.
It's basically a pop punk band that made a country song, and it's so funny.
Yeah. That she pretty much nailed it. But it's a great song. And you should go listen to it. And that's why she hit it with the intro. And we're going to see them in like
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And so we're super excited. So we have an episode today. Thank you for all.
That's an episode.
That's oh.
That's definitely an idea. Or that's definitely a movie.
No. Well, that's a game. That was a movie.
Well, this is an episode.
Our best friend from the show, David. That's like one of my favorite things he does. He's really trying to be positive, and I really value and appreciate it. And so, like, if he didn't like something, or if something was just, like, wild, he'll be like, that was a movie. You know what I want to do when I get wild? I want to open up a nice can of Butt Slate. This is not an ad. I'm not sponsored. Slate, French vanilla, ultra-filtered milk. Lactose-free.
You know what's so weird? It sounds like it's just milk in a can.
Honestly, it's probably milk
just
in a can.
Milk in a can.
With healthy caffeine.
I thought there was coffee in it.
I mean, there is because there's carbs in it. There's literally no sugar, but there's carbs. There are tons of protein. Oh, my God. Dude, this is a protein shake. It's 20 grams. It's a protein shake, dude.
What the heck?
This is literally a protein shake coffee, and they're just calling it coffee.
Wow, hacks.
My boy Nick out there is cutting down on his sugar. So he's like, hey, you should try some of these coffees. It's about a 7 out of 10. It's good. It's not Starbucks triple shot. You know, when you start eating healthier and drinking healthier, you taste the difference, bro.
No, you definitely do.
And so you have to reacclimate your body to the good stuff, I guess you could say. So yeah, we've got an episode, man, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up on the horizon. So we'll talk to you guys a little bit about our release schedule. We are recording this after work, so I am a wee bit tired, which is why my beautiful wife is going to talk a lot today. For those of you who have went to Halloween Horror Nights, please go listen to our episode last week. Don't know the number. It literally says it in the title, so you'll find it. Because we want to talk to you guys about what houses you like, what houses you don't like. We want to keep this bad, but we want to keep that episode going.
Keep it going.
As a community.
Spooky season.
Spooky season up until November 1st, baby. All Saints Eve, or whatever it's called. All Saints Day. To me, it's still All Saints Eve, because Halloween never ends. So every day is All Saints Eve. But yeah, my beautiful spooky wife's going to talk a lot, because She's got another book review for the book club that we unofficially started but didn't start. So for those of you who are interested, man, woman, grandma, non-binary, transgender, whatever, We invite you to the book club. We're going to officially start it in October because it gives us plenty of time. But Spooky's been reading a book, and maybe you guys like to hear about books. Do you remember? Someone brought something up. Do you remember bookmobiles that used to exist?
Yes.
It got brought up today at the at school.
Yes.
And they were talking about bookmobiles because apparently, and I really like this idea, they're in a, I don't know if it's in California or if it's in another country, but there's like shower mobiles for the homeless.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is really cool.
It's probably in California too.
I just don't know where the, well, yeah, we had a big talk about California's homeless population
it's
today.
So it's
bless their hearts.
It's drastically increasing.
It's rough.
Yeah, it is rough.
Statistically, it would cost like high double digit billions to take care of all the homeless in California.
Yeah, it's insane. It's crazy. Like the amount it's so crazy that the areas where the homeless like are stationed, they just call them like cities. Like they're little homeless cities.
All right, this is getting depressing.
It is really sad. All right,
we're done.
Okay.
All right, we're done. So the big buzz is around Barbarian, which we're going to talk about soon. But a few pieces of news. The Haunted Mansion movie that we can't stop talking about because we couldn't believe it was Jared Leto with a fantastic cast just added another fantastic person in their lineup.
The Queen.
The Queen. You know about it?
Yeah.
That is the Queen. She's part of the reason I like women and spooky women. We're family friendly, so I couldn't say the other word, you know, the edgy word. But that is the Queen, Winona Ryder. And that's super exciting. This cast is insane. I'm honestly excited to watch this movie.
Same. I am also.
Did you say slame?
Slame.
Slame.
Slam.
Slam. Super excited to see this movie whenever it comes out, even though Jared Leto is the Hatbox Ghost. Which, speaking of which, for those of us who live in Florida, we are finally getting the Hatbox Ghost.
Let's go, baby.
In our haunted mansion.
Let's go. Maybe that, you know what? Maybe this is the starting point of us getting Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, man.
Okay.
don't get me started, dude. Ugh.
Sorry.
Also, since we're kind of on the Disney Marvel train, at D23, Marvel premiered Werewolf by Night. Cannot freaking wait.
Yes, let's go, baby.
It's in black and white, releasing October 7th on Disney Plus. It's based off the Marvel Spotlight character, the Marvel Spotlight and comic book character run. I saw Ant-Man in the Man-Thing in the trailer. I told you I did, and then Marvel confirmed it. So,
oh, I mean, it's pretty prevalent. I mean, he's there,
but it's quick.
Yeah, but it's like a quick, but it's like a pretty, like, it's a pretty good quality flash of him.
Yeah, if you pause like I did and back up and
I saw him.
Okay, you saw
him. The first time.
You know, you saw the signs and it opened up your eyes. You saw the signs.
I saw the signs.
So there was a, so we're super excited about that. That was totally random. Totally caught me off guard. Super stoked about it. October 7th, we're going to add it to the list that we already made. Also, do you want
to
retcon something?
Excuse me, listeners. Forgot,
you were so beefed up on
my
foot fungus and Halloween Horror Nights that you would like to make a public statement.
I'd like to publicly apologize to my listeners here.
Timothy Oliphant.
And Timothy Oliphant, who is the one guy I would go after if CMX and I got a divorce.
That was so weird. I don't know why that was really weird. It's just, who is the one guy that I would go after? Like it's like you knew you wouldn't be able to get him or something. So you're like, the one guy I would go after if we happened to get a divorce. But if C-Max dies, I'm not going to go after him. I'd be too sad. But if we got a divorce, it's probably his fault, which means I would go after him. I don't know if I'd be successful, but I would. The aftering of the go is what I would do.
So, yes, all of that.
Yeah.
Guys, during Halloween, what did we call it? Spooky's what? 31 Days of Halloween?
Yeah. Spooky's 31 Days of Halloween.
During Spooky's 31 Days of Halloween, we're going to have to nix one of our movies because I forgot to put in the crazies. Which by the way, is, I can't, you know what, I'm going to say it is.
No, don't say a curse word.
No, I wouldn't. It is one of the best representations of a zombie.
Yeah.
They're not really zombies, honestly, because they don't die. But it, what were they? Crazies. They're crazies.
They're crazy. It's, we're not going to spoil it. Something happens to these people, and they go crazy.
They go crazy. So anyways, it's one of my favorite movies, like, ever. And every time C-Max and I make the 31 Days of Movies list, Crazies is, like, the first one I mention. So I'm very upset at myself. I was very sad. I can hear Django outside. Even Django's upset. And, yeah. So I'm retracting one of the movies. I don't know which one yet, so we can watch the Crazies. And that's that.
I like it. And I don't know how this came to be. Who are you waving at? Oh, Django.
Django.
I don't know how this came to be, but you were like, we were just sitting there, and we were sitting there playing Dreamlight Valley.
Which I know what it was.
Which is our new obsession, by the way.
You caught a big catfish.
I did. I caught a big catfish in Dreamlight Valley.
So we started quoting.
Man, you know that catfish I caught out by the bay, man?
What you reckon it weighed?
How big you reckon it was? I don't know, 20, 30 pounds. Man, that's a big SOB. That line's very sad. That whole
that
dialogue
part
change
is very sad.
But
I'm not
going to spoil it.
So he said that.
But anyways, Timothy Oliphant, let's go back to that.
Stop it. So he said it, and I was like, because we started talking about how underrated it is.
Very
a lot
underrated.
Of people haven't seen it. It's very underrated.
It's very good.
And it's so good.
It's very good.
And then I was like, I'm such a terrible person. I didn't put it on the list. So anyways.
Maybe that should be the watch party movie. We can get people to watch it.
That should be the watch party movie.
Dude, I wish I could get hired by a multi-million dollar company who just needs ideas. I just sit there, work from home on the headset, and it's like, those movies where they cut to the genius guy in the robe who just, like, says something. I want to be the genius guy in the robe who just be like, hey, you know what? You're having all these issues with this. You should just do this. And then they're like, oh, my God.
Why don't I think of that?
They're like, oh, my God, that's why I pay you the big bucks. And I'm like, that is why you pay me the big bucks, but I don't know why no one else thought of
that's
that.
That's why I have an embroidered robe.
Embroidered. And Brody. Man, you can't – you're not allowed to do the Marion County voice, because then you just start, your whole vernacular and diction just goes out the window. You can go after Timothy Oliphant, and I'm gonna show him my embroidered shirt that says I love you, Timothy Oliphant. I just got a divorce. I had a divorce party. All right. So yeah.
Anyways,
not much news. Lots of stuff on the horizon. Obviously, with a ton of releases, we've got. Pearl is this week coming out in theaters. That was because she's
Southern.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got Don't Worry Darling the week following, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, lots of, you know, you got Halloween Ends.
Oh my gosh, I have a funny story about that.
Okay, hold on. You got Halloween Ends in October. You've got Werewolf by Night that just came out. We got Hocus Pocus 2 at the end of September. Lots and lots of stuff coming out. Pray at Night, which is the,
oh my God,
what did it used to be called?
Pray for the Devil. It used to be called,
the Devil in Me?
The Devil in Me, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if we mentioned on the podcast there. I think we have. There was this movie. Her brother was like, The Devil in Me. You got to watch the trailer. Could not find the trailer to save the life of us.
Yeah, I was like, Matt, you made this up.
Was nowhere to be found. And I forgot what movie he saw it.
And he was getting so mad.
He was getting
mad,
super ticked
he's like,
off.
No.
Turns out they changed the name of the movie. Probably rebranded the whole thing.
Yeah.
And now it's called Pray for the Devil.
Pray for the Devil.
Yeah. So, yeah. Lots of stuff on the horizon. But what's your funny story about Mikey?
So, Matt messages me randomly.
Matt's your brother, by the way.
And he goes, Halloween ends next month! And I
Over.
Said.
The whole holiday is done.
And I said,
after next month, never again.
I said, Halloween does indeed end at midnight on October 31st. He was so mad at me.
Dude, you're on one, bro.
I know. Thanks.
What'd you have for lunch? What's in that Ezekiel bread?
No, I have a leftover pub sub.
That's probably why, dude. Who knows? It's straight.
Crack.
straight corn. Did you see he's now the corn ambassador of South Dakota?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I love it. I love what's happened. I loved recess therapy.
That's amazing.
Because of my clams boy. I just love clams.
That kid is so funny.
He paved the way for corn.
He did.
And this is why we need to invest and nurture our youth. Because if they had horrific parents who structured them and ruled with an iron fist, we wouldn't have my corn guy, Tariq, and we wouldn't have my sloth boy. I forgot his name. My sloth boy, my clam boy, dude, my Komodo dragon
so
boy.
Funny.
If you guys know what I'm talking about, go to Recess Therapy.
It's so funny.
It's so good.
It's where
Corn Kid came from. He just interviews little kids. It's similar to our little monsters, but he just asks them random stuff.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. So yeah, truly, I don't have much news, man. I mean, if you guys want to watch stuff, go on Shudder, go on Bloody Disgusting.
Just do your own dang research this
week, man.
Y'all.
It's out there, but nothing crazy, no. Nothing crazy as we gear up for the official Spook Month.
Truth.
So you want to jump? What are we calling this thing?
The book cult.
The book cult.
Yeah.
All right. The book cult. Name pending. We're going to see if anybody else calls it that. So, Matrimony of Madness's unofficial book cult. And she is Spooky is going. I don't read these books with her, and I apologize. That makes me a bad co-host. I don't think it makes me a bad husband because I think I would ruin it for her because I'd be like, yeah, I didn't like this part. And she'd be like, oh, that was my favorite part. And then we would just stare at each other blankly, and then she'd go after Timothy Oliphant, apparently. So that's what we've learned.
I didn't realize you would divorce over a book.
I don't know. That's your choice. It wouldn't be my choice. Your feet are in my butthole, dude. Could you just please? No, it's fine. Go ahead. All right. So Matrimony of Madness. This is the book cult for September, right? Because October, you're going to go hard in the paint.
I mean, the book that I just got in the mail yesterday, I'm probably going to finish probably before the cruise.
That's fine. So what I'm saying is, the book cult as far as getting members jumping in, all that is going to be officially October.
Oh, yes, all right, yes,
cool.
Absolutely.
So for those of you who want to read this book, I'm going to help her along the way, just how she talks about it. But for those of you who want to read this book, or if you want to read The Final Girl Club from August, she is always willing to talk, so don't feel like you missed out. So go ahead, what you got?
Yeah, the first book was The Final Girl Support Group. So if you guys want to hear that review, it's in episode something. Go back.
So I'm very nervous because you do not have the elaborate setup you had last time where you had your tablet and you were going over everything. So I'm very nervous as to how this is going to go down.
Okay. But I have the book.
Great, yeah.
Last time I didn't even have the
book.
You
do own the book because you read it.
Okay, so the book that I read is called The Only Good Indians, and it's by Stephen Graham Jones.
Very well-known author in this scene.
He is known as the Jordan Peele of literature.
I like it.
Just so you guys know.
People are calling him that? I like it. That sounds good.
Real quick, this first sentence on the back of the book. A tale of revenge, cultural identity, and the cost of breaking from tradition in this latest novel from the Jordan Peele of horror literature, Stephen Graham Jones.
Oh, it's literally on the book.
Yeah. This book has 305 pages.
Ooh, not bad.
For those of you who are wondering.
And what's the content rating?
What do you mean?
Like, mature?
Oh, I'd say,
could a 16-year-old read this book?
Yes, I would say a 16-year-old can read this book.
Okay, so that'd be PG-13 then.
Yes, I would say it's a PG-13
okay.
Novel. So basically, because I don't want to go into spoilers in case you guys want to read it.
No.
Basically,
we're not going to do a disc. We're not going to. I think all the book club reviews, I don't mean to interrupt your flow here, will be non-spoilery because I can't really discuss them with you, so it's just going to be more or less kind of like how we do the other reviews, getting people, if they want to read it, they can read it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Unfortunately, a discussion would be when you get book club members, that would be your discussion.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So basically, real quick, just to kind of tell you guys what this book is about, it's about these four Indians. They grew up on a reservation, and they did something in their childhood. Well, now that they're all adults, that something is basically coming back to haunt them. is the best way to put it. So I'm just gonna go ahead and
Nothing even happened. So
I'm just gonna go ahead and I'm just gonna say it. I did not like this book.
Oh wow.
I didn't. And I know he's like crying so hard out there. So here's
I'll let him in.
Here okay.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. The chapters, what I did like about this book is the chapters are small enough to where they're like maybe like 4 to 7 pages long is each chapter. They're really short chapters. So it's nice to like, oh, I'm going to read a chapter real quick or whatever. And it's a good way to like pace yourself. However, the chapters, the content inside of them was so boring.
Mm.
And I would read and I'd be like, okay, I don't really care about this. This really has nothing to do with the story. And then all of a sudden I'll get a chapter that's like awesome. And I'm like, man, this is so good. This is great writing. I really love what's going on. And then that chapter will end and then it would be like 6 more chapters of garbage.
So can you give me a non-spoilery example of that since you're not going into a discussion? Like give me like a fake example.
Okay.
So obviously, like, they're Indians, right? And something's haunting them from their past. So give me an example. Like, does something unveil itself as like a twist or something?
So something.
And then, so like that, right? But then what would be the garbage that would come after?
So that would happen. And then I will have 3 chapters about basketball.
Really?
Yes.
Just that far off?
Yes.
Interesting. Yes.
And I see what they're doing because, you know, it might be like an underlining theme. Here's my thing. If I think about Jordan Peele's movies, mm-hmm. reading them, I feel like might be kind of hard.
I think reading Us would be very hard.
Yes.
I think Nope, because it's already in a chapter format, it's not a spoiler. That would be easier to read.
I think so, too. I think Get Out would be an easy read.
I think so, too.
But Us would be a little difficult. There's a lot of underlining
and themes. Us, I think, I don't know, man. Like I said, Nope gets better every day I wake up on God's great earth. But I still think I like Us better, or they're tied.
I like Us better.
But I feel like Nope is his most fleshed out movie, if that makes sense. I feel like, and because it's so fleshed out, that would be why it would be readable, is because it's so fleshed out and there's so many centric themes and ideas and different things he's trying to convey. I feel like that's why it would be. So that's interesting. Yeah, just leave him alone. I'm going to need you to come back here because I'm just kind of long-winded.
Sorry, he's chewing on stuff he's not supposed to be chewing on. Okay, sorry. So yeah, so that's kind of, so I was reading this and I'm like, man, I'm expecting all this stuff and there's not really a twist or anything.
No, I was just using that as like an example.
No, I know.
The flow. But
as I'm reading this, I'm like, man, I feel like this would be a cool movie, mm-hmm. but in book format, it's very long-winded. Mm-hmm. It's very drudgy. Like I said, it'll be 3 chapters about basketball, and it doesn't. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe at the end it'll tie together.
Yeah,
somehow.
There's something about a basketball.
Yeah, and they did mention it a little bit, but it wasn't necessary. It wasn't important. Mm. It didn't really matter to what was the overall theme of the book, which is this thing that's coming back to get them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the chapters that did talk about the issue at hand or the conflict or whatever
uh-huh.
were so good. And I loved them. And that's what got me to keep reading was I'm thinking, okay, maybe now the rest of the book will be just like uh-huh. this or maybe, yeah. And it never happened. Mm-hmm. There's maybe 3 chapters that I thoroughly enjoyed reading.
Hmm. So who are the characters we got here?
So, like, the names of the characters?
Yeah, just, like, or, like, a little detail about them.
Okay, so, yeah, like I said, there's four main characters. Mm-hmm. You've got Ricky, Lewis, Cassidy, and Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And they all they all grew up on the reservation, and they all ended up going their separate ways, you know, as they got older and stuff like that. And so there, you know, there's two characters that are still really close, and then the other characters kind of went off, and then things started happening first to the characters that kind of branched off.
Interesting.
And then it kind of hones in on the two characters all at once towards the end.
They don't all come together?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No.
So it's separate narrative?
Yeah.
Separate narratives?
Yeah. What is really cool about this book is at the end of every chapter, there's like a little newspaper article that talks about kind of if you were an outsider in that town, this is what you would read about what just happened in that chapter. Ah,
interesting. That's cool.
Which is really cool. Except, you know, if I've got a bunch of chapters about basketball, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
It
makes me almost want to read it so I can see, like, if you're just trolling, or obviously I know you're not trolling, but you know what I mean. I almost want to see if it's that far-fetched.
It really is, and I really wanted to love this book, and I didn't, and it makes me sad. And some of the reviews in here, it's like fans of Stephen King's It and Peter Straub's Ghost Story should find plenty to love. Well,
the it is because there's separate narrative pieces going on, and that's why they're mentioning it.
Well, but even Ghost Story, like, I just don't feel like... Hmm. I don't know. Maybe...
I'm not learning much, so...
About the book?
Well, is it just like the... Because you're putting down a heavy claim, so I'm just trying to figure out if there's other things you don't like about the book. Like, do you not like the characterization of the characters? Other than it going off topic, do you not like the pacing when it is on topic? Was the resolution stupid at the end?
So, when it was on topic, I did like the pacing. When it was off topic, I didn't. And that's because I was getting bored. And I'm like, why are we talking about this for so long?
It does that several times?
Yes.
For those of you who listen, we try to not... We feel that out there,
Barnaby,
we feel like especially in the video game industry, I feel like they all kind of talk to each other, because there's no way that scores or there's insider baseball, whatever. There's no way that every game that comes out with an 8, they all thought it was an 8.
That's what I'm saying.
So what I'm saying is, whether there's insider trading or whatever going on, we feel like because movies is different.
Yeah.
I feel like movies is way more divisive than video games.
Yeah.
You're telling me that when Skyward Sword came out, that many people really thought it was a 10? Or do you think they were like, I know that IGN and this company says it's a 10, so I have to give it a 10? You know what I mean? So what we try to do when we review things is we try not to read what other people are saying about it at all, especially in like a professional review type form, because we don't want to take their ideas or have and insinuate plagiarism or anything. That's the worst offense. So we don't play into that. So where I'm going with this is, why do you think this book is so highly touted as like a great piece of...
Like a masterpiece, or more than I could have asked for in a novel,
yeah,
or one of 2020's buzziest horror novels?
Yeah, so...
I don't know. Okay. And I'm wondering if it's because this author is a very...
A great author.
He is a very well-known author. This is considered... Like, this little yellow mark right here is considered like a book club choice.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because they just didn't want to review this author poorly.
Hmm.
Like, gritty and gorgeous, I would say yes.
Okay.
Like, and here's the thing. When it goes off topic, mm-hmm. it does still involve the character.
Does it hit you with the Tolkien? Describing where everything is and what's going on and the
not
town
really.
And the reservations.
No.
And,
no, huh. It's not like that kind of writing. It's just... Let me give you an example.
Sure.
If we were watching a Heat game,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
and we had somebody who was visually impaired,
mm-hmm.
and you had to explain to them every single step,
mm-hmm.
this person crossed over, this person jumped. Like, literally every single step that each basketball player is taking, that's what it is.
Okay. So I think, so are we bordering like American Psycho type where he's giving the details of like, I grabbed this cologne branded 19 something something and I gently sprayed it. Is it like OCD, like in American Psycho, where he's talking about every single thing?
Not OCD where it's like, I'm going to talk about like the ridges in the basketball and stuff. Like, okay. It's not that kind of stuff. Mm. It's literally just, I'm going to give you a full play-by-play on this basketball game.
And you don't know, you're not certain as to why he does that, or do you know why he's doing that and you just can't spoil it?
I know why he's doing it at the end of the book, which I can't spoil. And yeah, I'm wondering if he just kept the same writing throughout.
Okay.
But to me,
it didn't pay off.
It didn't pay off because when I got to that part at the end of the book, I'm like, okay, I understand why he's talking
like
this. So,
let me rephrase. So maybe I am communicating correctly. Not just the off-topic stuff, but the way he talked about the off-topic stuff, you don't feel that correlates enough to what's going on in the book?
No,
or how
it doesn't.
The book's written or anything?
No.
Interesting. So he just, we're going to talk about this again in the movie we talk about, which is fine. I'll leave it at that. But I'd be interested. So what I'm curious, and I don't know, this isn't much of a review because I guess this is a really complicated.
It is a really complicated piece because
literary fiction. Apparently,
it's really hard to explain. Really,
I agree.
Hard.
Yeah. What I was gonna say was, I would have loved to hear the discussions that you would have had with members, because it would be like, if the four chapters that you guys read that week were not about the plot, it'd be interesting for you guys. I'd love to be like the bird on the wall who's like, yeah, so
yeah, so I am talking to somebody who is reading it.
Cool.
Also.
Good.
She only listens to audiobooks. So she has a new perspective on it.
That's fair.
Which I like, because I like getting that perspective of someone just listening to it. She had this same reaction.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, I'm going to be honest.
How far along is she?
I don't know. I haven't heard from her in a couple of days.
Far enough?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah. Far enough to where she got to one of the good parts.
Okay.
And she's like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. And I go, yeah, that part is awesome. But then I was like, I'm going to be honest, I'm having a hard time finishing this book, because I tried to finish it before September. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining why, and she said, I'm so thankful that you said that, because I thought
again, here it is what I talked about with review people who are reviewing things. Man, I can't give the new Zelda game less than a 10 because then everybody's going to hate me.
Yeah, no, she was like, thank goodness. I thought it was just me. Like, I thought something, like maybe I wasn't understanding something or whatever. And the reason I picked this book was because it was so highly rated.
I've been
wanting to read this book for a while, if you remember.
Yeah.
And I finally got it. And then it's because it was so highly rated on everyone's list. And I was like, okay, I got to see what this book is about. And maybe I hyped myself up too much, or I don't know.
Never know. But, you know, it's a bummer that you, because you typically read a book a month. I mean, you read more than that, but like you typically read like a good book a month that's like up there in quality.
Yeah, and this one took me so long to read.
It did take you really long to read. And I do recall you talking with my mom saying you didn't like it, but I wasn't sure if you were doubling up reading multiple books or whatever. Well, that's you know, I apologize that happened to you.
That's
okay. What would you say? I mean, it's hard to gauge when should people give up if they don't like it.
I would say if they get, so there's no chapter numbers, but I would say, okay, so this book, I'll just show you real quick, is separated into three sections.
Okay.
If you get to the second section and you're like, this is just like not.
It's more of the same.
It's more of the same. Now, granted, the second section is neat. But if you don't like the writing, you're not going to like it.
Okay. It's fair. What would you give it as a review? Just so you guys know who haven't listened, we base all our reviews off our own scale. A hack being, you know, a 6.5-ish, or I'd say a hack is probably a 5 and below. A hack and slash being a 5.25 up to, you know, a 7-ish. Slasher being 7 to 9.75, and then the final girl being the 10. That's our review scale. So hack and slash slasher and The Final Girl. So what would you give The Only Good Indians by Stephen or Stephen Graham Jones? Out there.
I'm going to give... I want to say Hack and Slash. Mm-hmm. But with Hack and Slash being all the way up to maybe like a 7, I'm...
No. That's don't. So oh. I'm gonna stop you right here. It's a hack and slash. We can't. You invented this low slasher.
But here's the thing.
That stuff. No. I hate it. It sucks.
Okay.
And it's bad.
All right.
We developed this review scale with each other, husband and wife. We stand by it. I gave the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022 a hack and slash. You guys just know that it's in that ballpark. That's it. And that's what I give to you.
All right.
The only thing that's absolute is The Final Girl. It's why it's the way it is.
Okay, then I'm going to give it a hack.
Wow. I still think you wanted to give it a hack and slash. And the numbers threw you off. So I'm not even going to say the numbers anymore, guys.
It would have been a low hack and slash.
But... Well, is it a hack and slash or a hack? Does it have redeeming qualities that... regardless of people saying it's a masterpiece, gorgeous and gritty, the evolution of narrative, regardless of what people are saying, do you think that there are a lot of people who will find redeeming qualities out of this book, or do you think it's a high critic score, low audience score?
That's a good question. I think people would say that I'm being too harsh on it.
I mean, it's your review, so don't change it based on what I'm saying. To me, a hack, remember, the only hack that I think I've given is Girl in the Window at the Lodge in the bottom of the sea, across the street. Yeah. I just don't think it has any redeeming qualities for me or anyone. I think it's stupid. I thought it was stupid. That, to me, is what a hack is.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, we're different versions. No, but you go with what you need.
No.
A hack to me is, like, do not watch this. Do not read this. Do not play this.
Okay. Then I'd give it a hack and slash.
Okay. Like, a hack to me is, like, it's a hack job.
No, well, I mean, I know.
We use the spooky element of hack, but it's bad. And it sucks. That's what a hack is to me.
All right. So
it's a nice way of saying no.
Okay, so then I'm just going to give it a hack and slash.
Girl, you give it what you want.
That's what I'm getting. I'm giving it a hack and slash. That's it.
Hack and slash. As we get closer, we'll let everybody know via TikTok, all the social medias, what the new book is for October. We'll have a Discord channel for those of you who want to start. And we will give you at least a couple days before October to know what the book is. So you can go grab it, audiobook, whatever. So... I'm sorry I took the wind out of your sails. This was not the episode to have this book and then what we're going to talk about, by the way. But we're going to do it because, you know, we're about to do something really fun and I can't spoil it because there's little monsters who are listening. So I can't spoil stuff. But we're about to go on like a lot of vacations. September's crazy for us. We're traveling a lot. So whatever, you know, we'll dig it. So, that is the review of The Only Good Indians. So, we're going to go into our next segment, our final segment, which is what everybody's just gassed about, man. It's just, people are just in. They're in.
They're in it.
And that's Arnold Schwarzenegger's Conan the Barbarian. Nah, I'm just kidding. So, we saw a movie on, what night was it? Thursday night? Friday night?
I don't remember.
We saw a movie on Friday night. It's all a buzz called Barbarian by Zach Cregger. It's apparently like the first big thing that he's done.
Oh, okay.
So you guys have heard me say much ado about it. We did a Sinister Sneak episode a while back. This is that movie where... the preview is they go to an Airbnb and she does the key thing. She does the key holder. The key's gone. She pulls up. Some guy answers, "Oh, we double booked the Airbnb. Whoopsies. Why don't you come in?" "No, can't come in. It's a good neighborhood." "No, it's a bad neighborhood." All that. And for and for those, that's the trailer. And for those of you who know me, what else did I say?
Nothing.
For those of you who know me or want to know me or have listened to us before, I do not stay in Airbnbs. It's the sketchiest thing in the world. Someone could easily have forgot to change the code from the day before. We've got corporations and realty companies running these things, dude. It's so much easier to sit in a hotel that thing digital locks. You put all the deadlocks on. There's only one entry, good as gravy. So yeah, if you guys recall the trailer, you know, that's what happens, and then crazy stuff starts happening, doors start opening. There's a basement that they don't know about, which turns into this Dark Souls dungeon. And so something's going on. And until we get into our spoilery discussion, I'll leave it at that because that's the trailer. Yeah, you definitely go.
So
I don't have as much to this movie is the only good Indians for me.
Okay.
So I'll start with that and then let you go. Because we haven't talked about this at all.
No, we haven't.
So I know you just did The Only Good Indians, but I would like to hear what your thoughts are. And then maybe they don't align. I'm hoping they don't align, so then I can talk to you about them. But okay. If they do align, that's fine as well.
So basically...
And we're in the non-spoiler review, sorry.
Okay. I hate the non-spoiler review part. I have such a hard time. So, throughout the movie, there are certain shots that are really cool. Certain shots that kind of made me sick because it seemed like it was kind of like a virtual reality shot. And I was like, whoa. But there are a lot of cool like cinematography shots, which were neat to see because I've never seen it done before. So, that was cool. The overall... There was a lot of sharp turns.
Yes.
In this movie.
That's a good description.
There's a lot of, like, sharp left turns. Like, okay, we're doing this now. And there was one sharp turn that literally our entire row just laughed for, like, a good 10 minutes, I feel like. Because we were like, what is going on? Is this happening? And it was with a actor that we had no idea was even in the movie to begin with. And it was very thrown for a loop. And I feel like the whole movie was kind of that way.
Yes.
And there's a lot of moments where you're watching it, especially in the beginning, and you're like, oh, this movie could easily have been avoided if they literally just did this. Or none of this has to happen if they just did this. It's a lot of, like, dumb decision-making.
Yeah, so... I gave this movie a lot of flack coming in, but you realize... We have another... Lots of satire in this, lots of hidden satire in this movie as well. So you realize a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, I made fun of Bill's character. I made fun of him being like, hey man, like, sorry, I guess it's double booked. Do you want, like, I made fun of that.
His character Keith, is so, yes, Keith.
It was intentional, though. It was written. Yeah, it's all...
Well, I mean, he's a great actor.
He is.
So, his character... I honestly loved his character. It was so funny. But it was so uncharacteristic of him.
It was.
But it was also... It also gave a good... It helped the audience create a certain idea about him, I guess.
That's the point.
Yeah.
He was definitely Mr. Anxious, social anxiety, stereotypical, I'm a good dude.
Yeah.
Lots of that. Whereas Tess was very narcissistic prudish. I watch indie films.
Yeah.
I'm going to get an indie job. You've never heard of this indie movie.
And he's like, actually.
So, yeah. It was a big social commentary on different environmental variables and relationships and your thoughts on how those should play out versus how they do play out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we can't get into spoilers, but there's other pieces that come together that have to do with, like, the police and...
Mm-hmm. And a lot of...
other various characters that you don't see in the trailer.
Current event controversies.
Yeah, current event controversies and...
It does touch a lot on...
It's very social commentary, satire, and then poking fun at not only... some the variances of some of those things and how those people act, but also how we feel or judge or perceive those things to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So an example would be, you know, there's a part where it's a horror trope that happens, but it literally happens for no reason. Because it wants, and I don't want to spoil it, but there's a common horror trope that happens early on with Bill's character, Keith, and it literally happens for no reason because they just wanted to put this horror trope in a movie. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great deal of that.
Jacob's behind you.
Man, I can't move. I can't do anything. So yeah, there's a lot of that. Pacing is breakneck. It's...
What does that mean?
It's just fast.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It's the opposite of The Only Good Indians,
this
apparently.
Movie is nonstop. Something's happening.
Pretty
always.
Much the... Everything you see in the trailer is literally how the movie starts.
Yeah, that's very early.
It might be one of the first trailers I can remember where it shows you, like, how the movie starts. I'm pretty sure the trailer shows you how the movie starts. That's not a spoiler. It's just telling you the truth.
Yeah, they don't show a lot. They don't in the trailer. It doesn't show much of anything in like the last two thirds of the movie.
For sure,
it's a lot of like the first one third of the movie.
Intentional, yeah. Of course,
which is good because it didn't spoil. It's not spoily.
I did agree. I do agree with a lot of the shots. There was one shot where we were all like, "Oh, that was really cool." Lots of shots with. Not only bodily movements and, like I said, adding in the horror tropes, but a lot of shots of, you know, beauty versus dystopian type stuff. I got a lot of the feel of, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022. Like, look at how cool this looks, even though it's dilapidated and breaking. And
yeah. It had a lot of perspective shots, too. Like,
for
it,
sure.
It makes you look at things in a different perspective.
100%.
Or a lot of working with areas that have very dim lighting or no lighting at all. It does a really good job, I feel like, at making you know that it's basically pitch black, but still being able to see what's going on.
All of the characters, I know I say this a lot in reviews, but I'm big on characterization instead of AP literature. All the characters do serve a function and a purpose. There aren't really any throwaways. And they all intentionally, you kind of love and hate all the characters.
Yeah,
there's one character you hate, actually maybe two, but they have all of them except for one have almost redeeming qualities. And like I said, it uses the characterization, it uses the dialogue to set these horror tropes, to make fun of them, to make fun of you, to make you think you know where the movie's going and you have no idea. And I feel like there's multiple twists and turns inside of the context of the movie. And like everyone's saying, avoid the internet. It's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, try to definitely, if you guys are interested in seeing this movie, go in blind.
I think it sucks to know that ahead of time, but you guys probably already do. Like if I was... I did not want to go see this movie. I'll say it right now.
No,
you guys know. You've heard me.
He dreaded it.
But I almost wish I didn't know that it was, like, wild. I wish I... Again, I've said this before.
But nothing was spoiled, right?
Nothing was spoiled except the fact that it's not, that it's crazy.
Yeah, you knew it was.
And in my mind, how can you make this Airbnb dumb Keith? Dumb Tess. How can you make this movie wild? You know something's going to, like something's going on.
Yeah.
So it sucks that we have to know that, but definitely you guys probably already knew that. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry. But definitely do not go on the internet. I mean, there's actors in this movie that you don't even know are in it. Don't, you know,
just
don't
go watch it.
If you want to watch it, go watch it. Before we get into the discussion, I'm going to sound really bad, so don't cancel me and I'll explain myself. I was big into sociology when I was younger. I was big into philosophy. I'm very big on extrinsic and intrinsic themes and allegories and metaphors and all that. I'm getting a little tired of, like, oh, do you see all the social commentaries we have in this movie? It's getting old. I'm getting a little bit tired.
Like, just make a movie.
And I think what started was Evil Dies Tonight. How miserably they failed.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm blaming Halloween Kills for this. So if you guys want to go out and hang me.
I'm blaming
Halloween Kills.
Evil Dies
Such a
Tonight.
Poor job of a social commentary with the Evil Dies Tonight stuff. And then Jordan Peele drops Nope, which, like I said, every day that movie gets better and better. I'm a huge fan of Malignant. I think that movie blew the roof off. Everyone's comparing this movie to that movie. I don't accept that because Malignant did it first, and I feel like a lot of movies now are starting to get into, see how satirical this is, but how funny it is, but how horror it is, and it's, I don't think I need any more of those movies right now. So maybe that's not fair. And a lot of people are going to judge me and be like, well, it's because of this. It's because of X and Y that Z is happening. Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to review it on the surface, and I think I will when I give it its rating. But I don't know how many more of these need to happen this year or right now. And before we get into the spoiler discussion, like it's just wild and crazy, and it's breakneck. It's the best way to describe it. So if you're intrigued, if you like what we said, if you think you like what we said, the intrigue is probably what's going to get you. Go see the movie, and then we can chat about it. All right. If you haven't watched Barbarian, I'm just so flustered. If you haven't watched,
I don't know why.
I feel
like you got yourself worked up for no reason.
I felt bad that you didn't like this book.
You didn't pay for it.
It's not the money. It's the fact that I know how long it takes to read a 300-page book. A two-hour movie is whatever.
Yeah.
Also, this movie's way too long. Way too long. I had to pee so bad.
It's so funny because he went up to go pee in the movie, and then like the last scene happened and the movie ended.
The movie's runtime is like an hour and 40 minutes. I mean, guys,
that's typical for a horror film.
It's an hour and 47 minutes.
That's kind of typical nowadays.
Name a horror movie that's an hour and 47 minutes that you know off the top of your head right now.
I don't know run times, but Midsummer I'm sure doesn't I could count. Find.
This movie's long. All right, ready?
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to waste time doing this.
No, we're going to do one. All right, ready? I'm going to pull a random one.
Yeah.
Wow.
What? All right, I got you. Hereditary, 2 hours, 7 minutes.
All right, but that movie's a masterpiece.
It's still a horror movie that's longer than what we just watched.
Fair. Well, this movie felt long then.
I would agree it did feel longer than an hour and 47 minutes.
I was like, oh, and that was part of their fun. Oh, is it over? Nope, it's not
It did.
Over.
It had a lot of, like, blank. Is it had over? A lot of blank screens.
Of yeah.
And then you're like, you're waiting for the credits
it's like
to roll.
Disney Dreamlight where you build someone's house and it's black for a second. And then it's like, wow. All right. It's so like, if you haven't watched Barbarian by Zach Cregger, turn it off. And we're back. So as we mentioned, this movie is nothing to what it is.
This movie is nothing.
Turns out there's a creepy baby mom underneath.
Mama.
Turns out there's a creepy baby mom underneath the house in the Dark Souls dungeon, and she's living in there. And you're telling me the property inspectors just never found?
I mean, you have to remember, it. You can't... First of all, the door was hidden.
That's true.
And the only way to open the door...
was a giant rope that everybody could see.
Well, no, the only reason why they saw the rope was because she knocked over the vase that was hiding it. So if she never knocked that over, nobody would have found the rope.
Yeah, so you've got baby dungeon mom who is butt naked and she just wants a baby. And when Keith goes down there, Keith! She brutally murders him. I guess he didn't want to be the baby. But she doesn't murder Tess, and it's...
That's because she played into it.
We don't... Tess, yeah, but like...
When she was in the cage down...
No, I understand that, but it seems like she killed Keith really soon.
But she probably brought Keith into that room that had the video and tried to get him to do baby stuff to her. And I'm trying to be friendly. And he probably was like, nah, fam.
So she kills him.
You're nasty. And he's trying to crawl away. And so she kills him because she didn't get mad at. Okay, can I just say who the celebrity?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Guys.
You're kind of jumping off, but that's fine.
Well, because I was.
It's okay.
Okay, so Justin Long is also in this movie, which was out of left field. But she didn't go after Justin Long's character until after she tried to get him to do baby stuff.
Fair.
So I feel like she didn't. Fully, well,
she tries to trap you.
She tries to trap you first and tries to see if you'll be her baby.
Yeah. Baba. It's crazy saying it out loud, isn't it?
It's funny.
So, the whole first part of the movie is the trailer. Weird stuff's going on.
Which, by the way, when we're watching this movie, because they don't show this in the trailer, we see that she didn't get dropped off by an Uber.
She brought her own car.
She drove herself. So she gets out, and C-Max and I look at each other, and we're like, she literally has a car. She can just leave.
I was so mad. So the first part of the movie is what you see in the trailer. The horror trope I was talking about was Keith's character has a nightmare, which has nothing to do with the movie. It was just a horror. They just added it in.
Yeah, he just has night terrors.
So now that I think about it, same thing with the doors just opening. There's no way that the baby ma...
Remember the homeless guy said that she comes out at night?
Yeah, but like she's able to open that dungeon door?
That's what I don't get. How is she able to open... Not the dungeon door, but how is she able to open the door that you pull the thing in? Because it opens inward.
Yeah.
How is she going to get her... I mean, she got really long claws. She got long nails.
She does, but...
But still, how?
Yeah.
I don't understand how she is... Because she does escape. She escapes at the... Remember?
Yeah.
She tries to get Tess through the window. So she does escape.
Yes. That was interesting. That you don't hear her, but she's opening doors and stuff. Whatever. So it turns out there's a baby ma catching people.
But how come she didn't go after Keith when he was sleeping if she was the one opening the doors?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe she was like, oh, my baby's sleeping. Let me let my baby sleep.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
And neither does the whole movie, so which is fine. So what I did like is they made the cut. The trailer had things in it that made you think the movie was going one way than it did, which was great. So, for example, that shot in the trailer with all the homes upkept was from a previous era.
Yeah, flashback.
The Reagan administration.
Yeah.
Where you have Richard Brake's character, Frank, who basically is catching women, putting them in a dungeon, and he is sleeping with them. And then they have babies, they get old enough, he keeps them captured, and he sleeps with them. So it's very incestual, and it creates what is now this, you know, this young, this older lady who is naked and running around, and she wants a baby. That's all she wants.
Because she grew up down there.
Yeah.
He has, the only form of entertainment that they have is a video.
Yeah, she has.
That any of them have.
Yeah.
was a video a about video, how to take care of your baby, how to nurse your baby.
So she wants a baby. That's what she wants.
Yeah, that's all she knows.
Turns out Richard Brake's character is still alive in another room.
Yeah, which is weird. Also, you know what else is weird? He had that bell, remember? He had that bell, but when Justin Long's character was up against the door, the...
It retracted.
Yeah, the woman retracted, like she was like afraid of him, which I'm sure she is. But then who comes to him with the bell?
Again, I don't know.
And remember the homeless guy was like, there's worse things in there than her.
He was talking about him.
Well, right, which he is worse than her. Because it's not her fault that she's a baby of a baby of a baby.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
But at the same time, I'm like waiting for like something else to pop. I was waiting for something else to like be in there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he is a terrible person.
Yeah. How are they getting food? How'd they survive?
His area, his little room was full of like cans and junk and all that stuff.
But he couldn't get out of bed.
He was bedridden, yes.
So I don't know.
I don't know how they were getting food and stuff.
Me either. No idea. Mystery.
Maybe they're eating bodies of tenants.
We could have. Yeah, but like to have that many tenants go missing. I mean, she did say they just check out. We don't know. And he's like, what kind of system is this?
They just
Which
check
is what
out.
I say.
Yeah, they just check out. And that little dungeon thing that they were in, that the underground thing, the trap, there were bones down there.
Hmm. Interesting.
So because she bit Keith, remember?
Yeah. It's been going on for a while.
Something bit me.
One of the best parts of the movie is where Keith gets brutally murdered and Tess is down there with what they're calling the mother. And then it just goes to Justin Long singing in a convertible.
Yeah, because it goes blank and you think, okay, the movie ended. She's going to kill Tess. The movie's over.
Not movie's over, but like something's going to happen, you know?
And then it goes blank for like a solid, I feel like 45 seconds.
Justin Long singing in a convertible in what looks like Malibu or something.
That's when we were dying laughing.
We made everybody mad in the audience because we were just crying laughing. Turns out his character AJ is getting Me Too'd. And he for sure did it because he's telling his homie, well, you know, bro, like, you know.
I'm very persuasive.
Yeah, very.
Okay, dude.
Yeah. The epitome of just a crappy person.
Yeah.
His career's ending. Apparently, he owns
this property.
The property that was rented. And by the way, when you see the property, all the other properties have deteriorated.
Yeah,
this
they're
is the
all...
only one that's being kept up for some reason.
The only civilization in this neighborhood is the one homeless guy who in the beginning was trying to
chase Tess to get her out
but she thought he was trying to attack her, but he was
it's the tropes.
Don't go in there.
Turns out a homeless black man helped her more than a black cop. That was another social commentary trope, you know.
Yeah. And this is set in Detroit, by the way. So
Justin's character AJ, at the beginning, you don't know if he did it, and then you find out that he definitely probably did it because the way he's talking.
And then you're like, oh, okay, you are.
And then he even tries to, like, murder Tess.
He tries to redeem himself.
And then tries to murder Tess.
Because he's like, I did this because he shot her on accident.
He shoots Tess on accident, yeah.
And then he's like, I made a mistake. I have to redeem myself, yada, yada, yada. And then he goes and throws her off the water tower.
After she was run over and after she broke through the water tower.
Oh, yeah, the
guy's
mother.
Like, he's never been here. She's been here 15 years.
And then the mother breaks through.
Rips his arm
Kool-Aid
off
man through the
up.
Water tower. The kill scenes were kind of cool.
Kill scenes were great. That sound was creepy.
What was that?
She kept making the sound. The mother did?
Oh, I think it was for the...
Yes, it was for that. Yes, thank you for doing that in front of me. Yes, it was for that. And for those of you listening, you know what that is. Yes. I thought that was an interesting take on horror. I was never scared or really anxious at any point. Mm-hmm. I was just following with the craziness, but I was never nervous or scared or anxious. I don't think it conveyed to me what it's conveying to everybody else. And at times, as crazy as it was, at times I was like, ugh, this is dumb. And I don't know, you could try to pick that apart, be that as it may. When I watched Malignant, I think Barbarian still takes itself seriously. Again, I think you got to go full in. If you're gonna like Malignant succeeded in my book because it fully sent.
I don't think we should be comparing it to Malignant.
But I'm going to.
I don't think it's the same type of movie.
But people are... But that's what...
Again, people are saying that.
I think that's why this movie is buzzy and popular and getting high ratings is... It's doing to them what Malignant did to me. I think... I'd love to have a second Malignant in my life. It's not this movie, but I think that is what's happening to other people. And you know, my opinions and my review is based off of me. So, but yeah, that's the gist of it. I really liked the flashback to like, oh, this was going on.
Yeah, I like the overall plot.
Not sure how I feel about Mother in the Basement.
I mean, they had to give some kind of thing that's going to murder people. I like it. I like that she was, I guess, the quote-unquote, well, he's the villain, but she's the one going around killing. I like that the reason why she's capturing people is because all she knows is, hey, your sole job is to be a mom, and that's all she wants. And
she semi gets it at the end before she gets shot in the head.
And you start to have a little bit of empathy for her.
You do have empathy for her. It isn't her fault.
It's not her fault. I do feel really bad for her, but I liked that this is why she's there. Sure. I like that it wasn't just a random species under the house.
Sure, I get that. It did have a story.
Yeah.
It was silly, and I guess it's fun, and it's wacky. But I don't know if it's a horror movie.
I'm
not sure.
Again, what's the definition of horror? Again. It had gore in it. It had killing.
Yeah. I digress. I'm going to give it a hack and slash.
I'm going to give it a slasher.
I knew you would because you're a poser. And everyone's going to come after me and you didn't want people to come after you. I'm just kidding.
Anyways, when I first left the theater, I was like, it took me a couple of days to fully digest this movie, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, the more I liked it. To me, it's one of those types of movies. When I first was done watching, I was like, what?
It had fun and cool things about it. I don't see myself watching it ever again unless someone wants to have a little bit of a laugh. But again, you know what movie I'm going to pick if that's the case.
Well, yeah, but if they haven't
seen it. I don't feel like I can recommend this movie to people. I don't know.
It depends on what type of movie they want.
Yeah, I don't know if people want this type of movie right now. I don't know. It's an anomaly. It's an outlier. And I'm sticking with my hack and slash. Breakneck, fun, silly, but still also tried to be scary, and it dropped the ball there. I think you make this more of a comedy, like Scary Movie. I think you make this that movie. That's
Would
just
you like
opinion.
It more if it was more of a comedy?
Oh, yeah.
See, I didn't get... I mean, I didn't really feel like horror vibes, like Friday the 13th horror, or you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really feel... Like, I felt like there was maybe some suspenseful parts that you might get in, like, a crime doc. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
I didn't get suspense either.
It's just because you're in a dark room, you don't know anything, you know. The part where he's freaking measuring the whole...
It was hilarious.
I was dying.
That's what I'm saying. The comedy bits and stuff were good. With the scary stuff, it just wasn't... It was trying to be scary, in my opinion, and it wasn't. And I don't know, it's a weird movie, it's fun, it's crazy. Have a little jolt of spice in your life and go see it if you want. Hack and slash, spooky gets a slasher. Anything else? Any final thoughts or anything?
Nope.
We are going on a fun little spooky adventure, that's all I'll say, because I can't spoil it for certain people, certain little monsters out there. And we will We come back on Monday. I think we could do a later episode on Monday.
We can if we're not dead. Thing.
Yeah, we'll be fine. So we'll try to do a episode talking about that and whatever else has occurred. And then the following week, we'll be in Alabama for a little thing called Furnace Fest.
Birmingham.
Seeing some great bands with our best friends. And not sure if we'll have an episode that week. I think we're getting back Monday that week as well. So we'll see. Release schedule, we try to have them Monday mornings, but we're just going to try to have episodes on Mondays. And we'll change the vernacular in all the socials so that you know. I need to go take a nap. So if you haven't already, please go follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We've got the TikTok. We're going to, as I always say, we're trying to just do more and find out what you guys like. We've got Discord watch parties, apparently, that we're planning. We're in the month of Spook, so lots of cool stuff going on. So just be active, be a part of the community. Review us on your favorite podcatcher if you haven't already. It just helps us get recommended and helps us kind of generate in the algorithm. If you know someone who likes spooky stuff and they're okay with it being family friendly, maybe recommend the cast to them. We're available on all platforms. Shout out to the Little Monsters. Shout out to the Teen Wolves. Shout out to the future Book Cult members. And this is C-Max signing off. Have a killer week.
Bye.